And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him shall my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, The Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Ian Gallagher, and to preach the cross, that is our aim, that is our goal. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which I am crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me. To be a preacher of the cross, we need firstly to be saved ourselves. The Lord has called redeemed men to preach redemption. He did not call angels to preach this, because God never shed his blood for angels, but the Lord died on the cross for sinful men. And we need a deep conviction that there is no other way. The modern liberal calls this the slaughterhouse religion. They despise the idea of blood atonement, of penal justice, and of substitutionary death. These are doctrines that the liberal will not touch. They despise them. But we believe in the biblical gospel, where you have that principle of blood shedding right through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were covered, their nakedness was covered by animal skins, and that required the death of a sacrifice and of animal coverings. Now, then when Abel brought his offering to God, it was the offering of a lamb, the first time in the Bible that you discover that. And then you have Abraham, the altar builder, laying stone upon stone, building the wood, laying upon that the animal, the sheep, the ram, to offer to God in sacrifice. Then you have the Levitical offerings right through the whole life of Moses and the history of Israel. They brought every morning that sin offering, every evening the sin offering. There was a constant reek of the burning of the carcasses, which God referred to as a sweet-smelling savor. And he taught his people that the life is in the blood. You'll find that in the book of Leviticus chapter 17. And the life is in the blood. And all of that was pointing to God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. And God was teaching the nation, teaching and preparing the world for his own Son coming into this world to save sinners. As we look back now upon that cross, it is our delight to preach God's purpose in slaying his own Son upon that tree, that he would bear the penalty of sin, that he would take all the wrath that is due to the sinner's guilt, and that there may be no wrath to those who shelter under the blood of the Lord Jesus. So we believe in the blood. We believe in blood atonement. We believe in a sacrifice that Jesus offered, and we believe that it is enough, that God demands no more. No more sacrifices, no more blood, no more animals on the altar, but Jesus' blood and Jesus' blood alone atones for believers. And today in our message, we're going to get right to that. Stay tuned. May the Lord bless you through his word.
Absolute necessity. And it's a necessity because Jesus was the Savior of sinners. And sin, the wages of sin is death. And if he would be their savior, if he would deliver sinful men, women, boys and girls from hell, from suffering, from eternal destruction, then he must take their hell for them and pay the wages. And he must die. There was no other way by which he could redeem his people but giving his life unto death for them. And so, on that cross, Jesus offered an atoning sacrifice, a sacrifice by which God and men would be reconciled. And it was absolutely essential. And blood atonement was God's way of satisfying divine justice. And we read in the book of Leviticus 17 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so the Lord Jesus, he was like that mother seed laying down its life. And he was suffering on the cross, offering up his life, his blood, for the atoning, justifying work of the gospel, that you and I would be reconciled unto God. And so when we come to this communion table and we remember the Lord's death in these elements, the cup and the bread, we are picturing the death of Christ and what motivated him. And the Lord would save his people. He would gather in his church. He would bring them one day into glory. But without his death, not one person in heaven. Think of that. Without his death, not one soul delivered from the line of Adam to the end of the world. But because of his death, there is now an innumerable company, multitudes of redeemed by the death of the Lord Jesus. Now, one of the things about seeds when they're planted is the multiplication factor. And 100-fold is common. And when you plant a seed in the ground, it can be amazing. You know, the farmer sows a bag of seed and he can take away a truckload at harvest time. It has multiplied. And so out of one life, the life of the Lord Jesus, comes forth the thousands, millions, multitudes, innumerable numbers of souls that are saved by the power of his death. And so we stand in amazement And we take this cup and bread today with great thanksgiving, great praise for all that the Lord has done and the church that he has redeemed by his blood. Now we move down to verse 27, and you'll see that the Lord surrendered unto death because he was determined for the glory of God. He prays here in verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. And these verses 27 and 28, they really clear up the whole intent of the Lord going to the cross. It was for the glory of God, not for himself, not for his own agenda, but for the glory of God. And you'll see how the Father commended the Son. And he said to him, verse 28, then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And then in verse 27, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Everything in Jesus' life was preparation for this hour. All of his incarnation, all of his birth, youth, manhood, baptism, his ministry, his preaching, his perfect life of obedience, his withstanding temptation, defeating the devil over and over and over, and all the victory that he got in his life, everything was to equip him to be that sacrifice, that perfect Savior who would lay down his life on that cross. And of course, his redemption was all about bringing glory to the Father. And here you have the Father speaking out this confirmation by a voice from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, three times the Father's voice was spoken at Jesus' baptism, at the transfiguration, and here in this last days, hours before his cross work, you have the Father speaking loudly, clearly, and it was interpreted as a thunder. What a powerful voice as the Father spoke forth, and we'll find that it is all to bring wonderful glory and wonderful honor unto the Lord Jesus. There is nothing that we could do today that will bring more honor to our Savior than by remembering his death, because it is what glorifies him and glorifies the Father. And as we glory, as we take delight in the cross work of the Lord Jesus, then we bring great honor and great glory unto the Father. And what a wonder it is. Now, you'll notice if we go back a little bit now to verse 25, that Jesus' surrender unto death is to be imitated by all true disciples. Verse 25, here is the Lord speaking to his disciples. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Now, just like the seed, if you try to protect the seed in the ground, say you spray it with silicone or some material that will keep the moisture from getting at the seed and causing it to sprout and die. If you try to preserve the seed, there'll be no growth. If you try to keep Jesus away from the cross, there would be no church. There would be no salvation. And now the Lord is saying to his disciples, he that loveth his life shall lose it. If you try to shield your life from the cross work of Christ, if you try to shield yourself from the shame of it, from the denial that is required to be under the cross, if you will not take up the cross, if you will say, I'll try and shirk that responsibility, then what happens? You lose it. You can't be saved without surrendering to the cross work of the Lord Jesus. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. In other words, you make a choice. I'm going to pay the price to be a cross bearer. I'm going to pay the price to be identified with the man of Calvary. Whatever it costs me, I must put Jesus
and his crosswork first in my life and take the consequences, whatever they may be. Now, that doesn't, in this verse, apply to the life and death of the Lord Jesus. It applies to all who follow him. And we are to surrender our lives to the will of the Lord. And the Lord has said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And so we have a choice to make. And in fact, by becoming communicants, we make that choice. We are declaring publicly in the church, I am identifying myself with the cross of Calvary. I accept these symbols as pictures of that death of Jesus, that blood of Jesus upon the cross. And I am a Calvary Christian. I am identified with the Son of God in his shame, in his suffering upon that tree. It is the only hope I have of heaven. My hope is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this new year, I'm just trying to make this in practical, real terms of how it should impact upon us. In this new year, this is the call of the gospel upon our lives. And I would pray that you would take up the cross all the more in this new year. And maybe the parable of the workers in the vineyard that we had a few weeks ago will apply. Those who came at the 11th hour, they received a penny just like others. And maybe you have not been a cross bearer. Maybe you've been trying to shirk the reproach of the cross. You've been trying to minimize with the cost that it is to serve and follow the Lord Jesus. But if you come and take up that cross, the rewards are wonderful. Look at the promise in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Do you want to be on God's good side? Do you want to have God's smile of favor and pleasure? You want to glorify your Father in heaven? Then be a cross bearer. Take up the cross. Deny yourself. And let that cross do its work within your heart. And so we're all called to choose the way of the cross. And I'm not just preaching to sinners now. Yes, that applies to sinners. They need to be saved by the way of the cross. If you're not a Christian, you must come to the cross. But I'm also preaching to Christians. You will not bring forth much fruit in your Christian life without being a cross bearer, without identifying with Calvary. And I would say to you as your pastor, if you want victory in your Christian life, go to the cross every day and pray on the grounds of the cross. Plead for the victory of Calvary to be poured into your life. Surrender to it. Make it your delight, your joy, your very worship and your devotion. And of course, it will do a deep work in your heart. The first thing that you'll find is you can't love the cross and love the world at the same time. It won't work. When you fall in love with the cross and you are a cross bearer day by day, you will have no part with the world. Because the world hates the cross. The world denies the cross. The world shuns the cross. But because you lay hold upon it, surrender to it, and imbibe it into your life, then you are separated unto the gospel, dying to self and dying to sin. And so your prayer should be, even as we take communion now in a few minutes, even as we take the cup and bread, our prayer should be, Lord, lay the cross upon my life. Lay it upon me. Let the cross do a deep work to change me and to bring me to a faithful, full, loyal service unto the Lord. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be aiming to try and please the world and please your Heavenly Father at the same time. Because number one, you can't do it. It'll never work. And it will wean you away. It will change you from surrender to the cross to surrender to the world. The world is very powerful. The devil's behind it. Pride is behind it. The flesh is behind it. Your flesh, your sinful nature, it responds very quickly to the advertisements and the temptations of the world. It will suck you in like a great big vacuum. And you need power to withstand the world. And that power is the cross. And as you surrender your life more and more to the cross, you will be an overcomer in the world by the blood of Jesus. Don't we read that about the saints in heaven, that they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb? Oh, that's how we ought to be praying, and that's the attitude that we need to have. Now, the ultimate promise, look at verse 32. And I, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I must say that that text has puzzled, it has, I'm going to use the word titillated, it has challenged me all my Christian life. What is this? If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Well, historically, it meant Jesus going to the Roman gibbet, the cross. But in our Christian lives, in our ministry, our work, our whole testimony ought to be lifting up the crucified Savior, telling the world of a crucified Savior, telling men and women of the love of God that culminates, that comes together at the cross of Calvary. We were reading and studying just briefly on one of Paul's prayers in Ephesians. And his prayer for the Ephesians in chapter 3 is that they might comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God that passeth knowledge. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. And when we are in love with the cross, we experience the love of God in our souls. It's a wonderful, wonderful power. And this now becomes our job description. If you ask, what is your church really aiming for? What's the goal? What's your mission? What's your vision? A vision statement. It is to hold up Jesus Christ and Him crucified, to see the power of the Lord drawing men, women, boys and girls to saving faith and the enjoyment of the infinite love of God. That's our mission. That's our work. And I realize there's a whole Bible to preach and there's all kinds of subjects in it, but we must get to the cross. We must lead sinners to the cross. And we must, as Christians, get more and more our hearts, minds, souls fixed upon the victory that is ours in the cross of the Lord Jesus. So I call you today to surrender to the cross. Whatever it means, whatever you have to give up in your life, and it will not be a hardship. Spiritually, eternally, it'll not be a hardship. It'll be good for you. It may be a battle, yes, a battle, to give up worldly things, give up the pleasure of sin for a season, a battle to say no to things that get in the way of living for Jesus. And that might be time, and there are things that might be very good in all of our lives, but I couldn't be out playing golf all week and come and preach to you today. I couldn't be out sailing on a boat up Indian Arm or down the coast anywhere all week and come and preach the cross today. It has cost me every minute of this week to be able to come and preach to you today. It has cost me. I have not spent my time watching television. I have not spent my time in many other things that might be innocent in themselves. But I had to get to the work of preaching the cross. I started studying this passage last Sunday afternoon. I was over in Calgary and I was in a home where they had a commentary on John's Gospel, and I wanted to start reading what it had to say on this passage. And so at every free minute I had all week, I was looking at these things. Now, why do I say point that to myself? I'm saying that because it's going to cost you to identify with the cross of Christ. It's going to cost you free time. It's going to cost you perhaps friendships. There's going to be times when you'll have to say no. It's going to mean discipline. Because you're identifying with the cross, and you're surrendered to the message of it and to the mission of it to get this gospel to the world. All of this comes to us today.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.